You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Engel, I am Greg Sussman, Matt in Arizona, to watch some more baseball because, well, last night just was not enough. Corey Parson, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Greg. Doing well. Shout out, congratulations to the Houston Astros and their fans. Shout out to the whole H-Town, you know what I'm saying? So, nice W. They deserve that one, so congratulations to the Houston Astros and their fans.
Scott Engel, you're the king. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, great world. Good morning, great World Series. Game 7 wasn't as dramatic in terms of the play as the other games, but overall, great World Series. Like Corey said, congratulations to Houston, which has been through a lot. And, you know, some good guys on that team, Brian McCann, Justin Verlander, pretty happy for them. I know Carlos Beltran didn't, really make a difference in the World Series, but, you know, he'll get a ring, another good guy. So happy for the city of Houston, happy for some of the players. And you can go to sportsgrid.com and check out our too early fantasy baseball rankings.
Why are you happy for some of the players and not all of them?
I'm just saying there's specific guys on that. You know, I've personally dealt with, and I'm happy for them. I don't know why you're positioning in that way. But,
no, you said I'm happy for some of the players.
I'm saying that doesn't mean I'm not happy. So
I want to
You like to think in all either or, but that's not how I think.
I'm trying to. You said
you're
I'm
just
happy.
You're trying to stir trouble.
I'm
at
not
like
trying
6:04
to stir trouble. Yeah. You said that you were happy for some of the players. I was like, why not all of the players?
So, Greg, how did your waiver runs do?
That was yesterday.
Yeah. Did you have any more last night?
I mean, we can talk about that.
Trying to change the subject.
Yeah, I understand what I was trying to do. I want to talk about the World Series myself. You know, I get what you're saying, Scotty. I'm excited for the dudes that have been around for a long time, the McCanns, the Verlanders. And it's also crazy, Core, how, like, these cities, when you go through a tragedy, you wind up winning a big championship. You go back to the Boston Massacre. Red Sox came back and won the World Series that year. And then you have Houston. Oh, they have been going on with them. And they
definitely
came back
a unifying presence.
It's awesome. So I'm with Scott. You feel good for the city. It's crazy to watch this rebuilding process. A team that lost 111 games just a few years ago. And now here you go. They are the World Series champions, and it's just it's a remarkable turnaround. It's very cool to see it's homegrown. The Dodgers payroll was like the highest payroll in the history of baseball. Yep. Which is funny. And Houston pulled the right moves, and listen, you give credit to the owner, the GM, who went out and got Justin Verlander on the last day he could, and that changed everything. So good looks to the Houston Astros. Take a break. We'll come back to the biggest news in the NFL next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, as we said, big ups go to the Houston Astros, your first time ever world champions. So pretty good feeling for them. We'll start the show, though, talking about Houston, but not the Houston Astros. I'll talk about a Houston native, Corey.
Yep, who's that?
The Houston native would be Josh Gordon.
Oh, okay. I thought you was going to talk about DeAndre Washington.
No. No,
random. Yeah.
seems more random than Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, late last night, it's amazing. I got a couple of text messages from dudes in my league, and they're like, "My season is saved!" I'm like, well, what the hell's going on here? And I go to Twitter, and I'm just like, huh, Josh Gordon's reinstated. Preliminarily, he has lots of reports to the facility, kind of like what Martavis Bryant had back in the summer.
Yeah.
Report to the facility. He's allowed to practice. He's not allowed to play until week 13, which is about 5 weeks away here as we're about to enter week 9.
JG's on the road back to the NFL.
So as you said yesterday, Corey, Maverick Carter did a nice job.
Yeah,
painting Josh Gordon in a way that, you know, he's rehabbing himself, which is good.
They got them drugs out of him,
which is good.
Yeah, that is good. I mean, that kid was loaded with lean, Percocet. He was doing it all. You name it, he was taking it. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And it's interesting because, you know, you had heard that he had a drink on, like, the last flight home, and it's like, there's no way this is what he's going to get suspended for, yeah, for another year. And that just clearly
wasn't that kind of drink.
No, it was not, in fact, that kind of drink. And ultimately, I think it's been a long road for Josh Gordon to come back, and he said it in that little piece that he did by Maverick Carter. And it was ultimately that he lied to everybody. He had talent, so his coaches let him get by, and,
yep,
and he didn't feel the need to stop what he was doing, because he can go out there and play very, very well, despite being on drugs and alcohol and other things.
That's an amazing skill. As much, yeah, drugs and alcohol as this guy was doing, to put up the kind of numbers he put up in 2013,
amazing,
and he had all of that stuff in him. Imagine if he was clean and sober.
Yeah, it actually, it's a really incredible way to think that. So now, Josh Gordon's reinstated. And as I said to you, Corey, people are running the other waiver wires. Last night, there's some bids to put in.
Yeah.
Rush to the waiver wire to go out and get a Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
And I was sitting here like, what is wrong with you?
No. It's a novelty act.
I was like, this dude hasn't played baseball in 3 years. He hasn't played football either. I think he was a good baseball player, too. He's very,
okay,
skillful, very skillful.
Yeah.
But he hasn't played football in 3 years. And I'm just like, what is it? I think Cleveland, by the time we 13-year-olds, is going to release him. And you're going to sign him to your fantasy team and burn a roster spot on this dude? Like, maybe I'm a low guy on Josh Gordon. I've been the low guy on Josh Gordon. But I am not buying a damn thing from Josh Gordon in 2017.
Nah, I'm not fooling with Josh Gordon in 2017. Maybe in 2018. Sure. You got to still figure it's going to take him a little while to get adjusted, get back into the swing of things. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a tough situation. What do you expect from him? Are you going to play him in week 13?
Yeah. Your season's, yeah, on the line in week 13.
Your season's on the line in week 13. You're going to put Josh Gordon in your lineup? I think it's a waste of a roster spot, to be honest with you.
Sure.
For this season, do want to see some good things for him. If you got the roster real estate and you don't have to spend no fab, a dollar, make your holler or waiver wire priority, yeah, you put him on the bench. Maybe you see something in weeks 13 and 14 and be like, okay, I think I'm safe to play him in week 15 with Deshaun Kaiser throwing the football to him. No.
It's a total dart throw because, as Corey talks about, you know, the talent is there. Pound for pound, at least he used to be a very, very talented player. But, you know, so much rust and already talking about not even he's talking 3 years plus. You know, he's going to miss 12 weeks of the season. What kind of condition is he going to be? Now, in the unlikely event, but still not impossible, that he comes out and immediately makes an impact and all of a sudden looks like he did, you know, you want to roster him, but you don't spend a lot of money to do it because really he's not, like I was talking about yesterday, you know who your projected starters are going to be for the playoffs. So if you spend a lot of money on him, which I did see in some places, you're spending a lot of money for what you saw in 2014. You know, not what you're necessarily going to see now. I'm not saying it's impossible that it can't happen. It would be some sort of story, and the guy is that talented. But what are the odds really at this point that he's going to crack your playoff lineup?
Here's my point. And I want to be, like, unequivocally clear with this, because I've read places on Twitter, I'm not going to call anybody out. It's like, oh, man, in deeper leagues, make sure you go out and get Josh Gordon. I was like, you know what? No.
How about not?
I'm not pulling that stupid caveat. I'm really not. It bothers me when people do. It bothers me. Oh, in deeper leagues. Oh, in this kind of league. Oh, with big benches. No. Josh Gordon hasn't played football in 4 years. And Josh Gordon's not coming back until your fantasy playoffs are basically here. I am not, for the next 4 weeks or 5 weeks, burning a roster spot for a dude that may not play with the Browns. That may, let's not forget, the last time he was on the field, when he was obviously loaded up,
yeah,
he sucked.
I don't want to go as far
That's
as to say
point.
That
he did.
I don't want to go as far as to say that he said, yeah, one of those games that he had 13 targets in one of those games.
How many catches did he have?
He caught a good amount of them. He had a decent game. He had a decent game in the PPR. Nothing spectacular, but, you know, listen, the bottom line of the matter is I'm not Josh Gordon's in one end. I like the Josh Gordon thing more as a personal story, and it's not really nothing to do with fantasy football to me.
And I agree with that. That's all, that totally cool with that. His comeback's an awesome story. Yep. I will buy that. But zero caveats, zero deeper leagues. I am leaving him on the waiver wire. Let some other idiot spend fab, waste your waiver spot. I don't care. I don't want Josh Gordon. I don't want to wait for Josh Gordon. What are you expecting from this dude in week 13 with no quarterback? What the hell are you expecting?
Well, Corey makes a point. Two of the games that he did play in 2014, 7 catches for 75 yards against Atlanta. He had an 8-catch, 120-yard game.
Scott, this was 2014.
I know, but you said he sucked, though, the whole year.
I noticed you ignored the last three games. 2-for-15, 3-for-48, 4-for-45.
No, I didn't. Well, you totally ignored it yourself. I don't know what you're talking about.
That might have been a quarterback injury in the next season.
They have no quarterback now!
Your quote was, he sucked.
He did!
No, he didn't. He was up and down. He didn't suck. He had an 120-yard game.
Fantastic!
He had a 20-point fantasy game.
One game against Atlanta. He had a great game. We have no idea.
No, and he had a 7-catch for 75-yard game. He didn't suck the whole time. If you're going to say he sucked for three games, I could agree with that, but you said he sucked the whole time.
We are arguing about something from 3 years ago. I'm not going to do this. 4 years ago. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to argue over if Josh Gordon was good 3 or 4 years ago. It makes no difference right now. Right?
Okay. That's fair. Right? Yeah.
So it makes no difference. Maybe I was too harsh. Fine. I'll give you that.
It still was 3 years ago. Yeah.
It was three years ago.
3.5.
Yeah. Right? So it's over three. It's over 3 years ago where Josh Gordon was much younger, more on drugs, but much younger. This is literally
He's only 26, though.
I understand. So. But it's 8 quarterbacks ago in Cleveland. That is not an exaggeration.
Wait a minute.
Eight quarterbacks ago.
That's an old 26, though.
Yeah, correct. But 8 quarterbacks, that was like 1 year in Cleveland.
True, that's true.
It's 8 quarterbacks.
They had 7 last
three
year.
Three regimes. Like, this is
entirely wait a minute. They had one quarterback from 2015 to 2000.
Doesn't make a difference.
Quarterback
about 2000. It doesn't make a difference about the quarterback. The kid is the kid.
But I would get corrected if I made those sort of statements.
The kid is a recovering junkie. You feel what I'm saying?
Correct. Yeah.
He's a recovering junkie. So you got to look at a situation like that. You got a player coming back, you know, more or less from like a drug-induced coma that he put himself in. And he don't get me wrong, he got himself clean. He worked out. He got with Matt Ricarda and some people. They got himself together. He pulled himself together. Now he gets another chance, another opportunity to be in the NFL. That does not mean he should be on your fantasy team. Because if you put him there, you're going to, okay, I won the championship with Josh Gordon on my team. He's not going to contribute to that.
Yeah, I was actually in a meeting when this news broke yesterday over at the Next Take offices, and Jeremy Stein said to me, he said, "Well, Josh, you mentioned Josh Gordon, talked about picking him up." He said, "Well, you know, who's he going to throw to?" And I said to him, "Well, if you've watched the show on Kaiser, probably the other team." So, you know, the quarterback situation is bad.
By the way, it was exactly eight quarterbacks for the record.
Wow.
Okay, cool.
Good.
Yeah.
So there you go. The very fact is, Josh Gordon belongs on waiver wires. He does not. He belongs where Calvin Johnson is. That's why people pick up Calvin Johnson when they heard a rumor of Calvin Johnson coming back. He belongs where Calvin Johnson is, on the waiver wire. He is not going to help your fantasy team. Don't buy into this stupid dream. You want to pick up somebody and wait? Go wait on Greg Olsen. Fine.
Yeah. Danny Woodhead.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he's going to get hurt. But yeah, Danny Woodhead's he's practicing with his team. He's going to play. He was signed by this team, by this regime. Yeah, Danny Woodhead, fine. Corey Coleman, another Browns wide receiver.
Pick him up.
Rather have him than Josh Gordon. No problem. I am not doing this Josh Gordon thing again in 2017.
I can't say I blame you on that.
Unanimous.
I said there was no caveats, but I do have to ask about a caveat. Now you're in a keeper league. Scott, I know you're in a dynasty league that started this year. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Oh, you go get him.
I would say I'm not going to bid incredibly high, but I would spend more in the yearly league, obviously. I have about $250 left. I'm probably willing to go about $40.
Corey, you said go and get him. Do you empty the clip for him in a keeper league?
I don't empty the clip for him, but I put in a nice size little bid to go get him.
All right. We take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the players that actually matter in 2017.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts here. We're going to talk about some players that are kind of still active, Corey. I mean kind of, because I read a tweet yesterday about someone getting cut. And evidently, he didn't get cut because he was even named the starter yesterday. I was very confused.
Who's that? Kidding.
It's Eddie Lacy. I read a tweet yesterday that Eddie Lacy's been cut, and I could not wait to get on the radio.
Oh, my God.
I could not wait. to come up here.
Yes,
so
yes.
That he was cut by the Seahawks?
Yes. I read a tweet yesterday that he was cut, and another dude were cut. And I got home, and I was doing research for the show, and all of a sudden, Darrell Bevell names him the starter. I'm like, I didn't think he's on the team anymore.
Yeah.
Like, no, it didn't surprise me at all that he was cut.
Me neither.
I had read that he was cut, and they had promoted Mike Davis from the practice squad to be the starter. This is the whole thing I read. And I wrote it in the rundown, and I got home when I was just doing more research for our show, and now he was named the starter. So it seems like it's
I had never seen the thing, and if they did acquire like Frank Gore or somebody like that, it would not surprise me. But Carroll came out yesterday and said, this could play into what you're saying. You know, I'm just speculating here. Carroll came out yesterday and said he's going to be the starter. You're going to see a lot of him.
Yeah.
What I think they're doing here is, if I'm reading this correctly, is they got Dwayne Brown, right? And they're saying, okay, we're going to give you one final crack.
Yeah.
Who do you blame? Do we blame the offensive line, or do we blame you? If you cannot run behind Dwayne Brown, you're gone. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think they realize that Thomas Rawls is terrible, which he is. I think they realize that Eddie Lacy's also terrible. It was like, you know what? We've given Rawls a legitimate shot. Let's give it to Lacy now behind Dwayne Brown. I agree with you. I just think it's so funny. I literally read the story that they cut Eddie Lacy. They signed Mike Davis with their practice squad. And I was like, all right, here we go. But instead, Pete Carroll basically talks him up. Darrell Bevell talks him up. Corey, Eddie Lacy gets a shot this weekend.
So? Nothing to see here. Keep moving. If you think about playing Eddie Lacy this weekend, listen. If you're listening to this program and you put Eddie Lacy in your lineup this weekend, you deserve everything you get.
I agree.
Mike Davis actually looked pretty good during the preseason, so it would not shock me if they promoted him at some point and gave him a look, because J.D. McKissic may be the best running back on this team, but you know, he just weighs 190 pounds. It's not like you can have him banging between the tackles. So, you know, Lacy, look, I've said the last 5 or 6 weeks, I said he does look healthy. There's no burst there. But at the same time, they're going to find out who to blame, because when Ondemo was playing left tackle, it was ridiculous how easily the defenders were getting in the backfield against the run.
Yeah, and the run has been nothing for Seattle. We've talked about that a lot. So Eddie Lacy, as Corey has said, if you're starting Eddie Lacy this week, you deserve to lose. Does that mean the Seahawks deserve to lose if they're starting Eddie Lacy?
I'm not going to go that far. They kind of have no options left.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Let's move on to other players that are equally more relevant. Corey Davis. We've been waiting. And we knew he had a good chance to return here this week, but Mike Mularkey actually said we expect him to start on Sunday for the Tennessee Titans. And I'm happy, Corey, they're not pulling this, you know, rookie veteran BS stuff. Like, yeah. All right, Corey Davis come back. Like, we're in the middle of the season. We're week 9. It's too late for that kind of stuff. We gotta put our most talented guys out there on the field. And the most talented guys they have, one of them is Corey Davis. He's going to start on Sunday.
Yeah, Corey Davis gets to start on Sunday. Corey Davis more than likely should be in your lineups this week, depending on what your situation is. I know Corey Davis is going to be a wide receiver for some flex spots for me. I'm waiting all season for this kid. I gave him the roster real estate in, what, 3 leagues? And you know what? I'm putting him in the damn lineup now.
You are. You've been waiting and waiting.
Yeah, I'm putting him in the lineup. I don't care who. If I got to sit a dude like T.Y. Hilton, I'm putting him in the lineup.
That's a pretty big.
I've been sitting T.Y. though.
Well, I know. Yeah, you sat over Robbie Anderson last week.
Yeah,
I want to give you credit. I talked to Mike Florio yesterday, and he came clean, and he said that he had T.Y. Hilton ranked ahead of Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, he came clean.
He came clean.
Told you.
You're right. Would you start Corey Davis over Amari Cooper this week?
I'm not gonna go that far.
Can't go that far.
No.
Would you start him over Devontae Parker?
Not gonna go that far. Devontae Parker has a good matchup, and he's playing.
Okay. There you go. There was a couple of hats for you. Scott, Corey Davis.
As we move on through the program and I begin setting my lineups, I'll let you know.
Scott, how excited are you by the return of Corey Davis?
I think you have to be if you're a fantasy player. You know, Corey's been, I think, right on this guy all along. You know, you saw them like throw jump balls to him. He adds a unique dimension to the offense that I just don't think it's hard to replicate. You have Rishard Matthews being a good possession guy, et cetera. You got Delaney Walker when he's healthy down the seam. He adds a unique dimension. To that end, I do believe at some point that Mike Williams of the Chargers, too, who has incredible talent, I think at some point down the stretch, I think he's going to become relevant.
Interesting. All right, so you believe Mike Williams and Corey Davis, both first round.
I think Davis sooner than later, though.
Okay. It's funny. You mentioned Mike Williams, mentioned Corey Davis. Last week, one of the guys I went and picked up just to really stash and to see what we had was John Ross, the other first round wide receiver. John Ross was only active, according to Marvin Lewis, because of a special teams injury.
Yeah.
This dude just lost Marvin, man. But you knew that already.
Yeah, we knew that already. He's playing out the stretch right now.
I think Hugh Jackson. I got to talk about Hugh Jackson here for a second. I was about to say that I thought Hugh was going to be the next coach of the Bengals. I throw that out there to you. Go be the agent of Karen, Andy Dalton, that whole thing again. From what I read late last night, Hugh Jackson is winning this power struggle in Cleveland, which is crazy. Because he has one win in like 23 chances. And evidently,
I don't know. How is he winning it?
So the owner, Jimmy Haslam, who's fired a billion people in his few years of owning the team, he wanted the A.J. McCarron trade. He said, "Hugh needs A.J. McCarron. I want A.J. McCarron."
Yeah.
And the front office is like, "No, we're not doing this second and third round pick for A.J. freaking McCarron."
Yeah.
So evidently, the owner threw just like a fit. He's like, "I say you got a quarterback, you go get him."
Yeah.
And obviously Hugh Jackson wanted him, clearly.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson bring anybody in there at this point.
Right. So obviously there's this power struggle now between the front office, clearly, and Hugh. And if the owner really wanted the quarterback, that means he's on Hugh's side here.
No, it does mean he's on Hugh Jackson's side. So maybe they're going to bring him back then. See if they can break the futility record. You know what I'm saying? But
imagine.
Yeah, crazy, crazy times for the Cleveland Browns right now. But as far as what they have on the field, it's tough starting these guys on the week in and week out basis.
Believe this, personnel wise, right? Like the decisions they made in the offseason, like were they that bad? Like, all right, the quarterback, the draft.
Yeah, the Kaiser thing set them back.
Yeah, the Kaiser thing set them back for sure, but. Not like you can't draft the quarterback this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all right, so you whiffed on what, a second round pick? Is that what Kaiser? It was Kaiser.
I'm not certain. I forgot.
All right,
it was a wild night.
You whiffed on the Sean Kaiser pick, but like the Myles Garrett thing, I think is going to work out.
That should work out.
You had a ton of other picks that worked out. You let Terrell Pryor go, the hometown hero. That was a disaster. That was a good call.
It's all about the quarterback position. It's all about the quarterback position. They need a quarterback to come in there and change the culture. And they've left some guys on the draft board.
That they have, right? Mm-hmm. They traded a bunch of picks away, and they didn't draft Carson Wentz. They could have drafted Deshaun Watson a few times. They chose not to. Yes, they left quarterbacks on the board.
Yeah.
But I always have this thought, and I really could be wrong about it, that ultimately, I feel like these players are in different situations. I don't even mean just Cleveland, but I mean, like, if you take Carson Wentz out of Philadelphia, or you take Deshaun Watson out of Houston, are they as successful as they are? And I don't know the answer to that question.
It should be with Hugh Jackson. That's Hugh Jackson's job. That's why they brought him in.
Hugh Jackson is the quarterback whisperer.
That's his MO. If he's not doing that, then why is he there?
He shouldn't be
right now, his job as a quarterback whisperer would be like, don't throw an interception. You know, that's it. Because he doesn't have the talent to work with, really, to be a quarterback whisperer.
But that's his own fault.
I agree. I completely agree with that. And maybe he's not a head coach. He's a fine quarterbacks coach. But, Scott, do you believe that if you take a Carson Wentz, who, remember, wasn't even supposed to start for Philly last year until the Teddy Bridgewater injury allowed Sam Bradford to get traded to Minnesota for a first-round pick plus, and they're like, you know what, screw it, we'll put Carson Wentz in there, and obviously he's continued to excel and get better. And Deshaun Watson, who, you know, was not going to start at all this year until first half. Tom Savage looked like a Cleveland Browns quarterback. So they put in Watson, and he's steadily improved as we've gone through the first 8 games, or 8 weeks here of the season. Do you believe if you would have put Watson and Wentz in Cleveland, that you'd have these guys would have the success that they're having now?
I always say there's two kinds of quarterbacks, that one, you know, who need the compliments to excel, and others who make their receivers better. And it's not a knock on either one if they aren't. You look at Wentz last year. He didn't have the type of pass-catching depth that he has this year. And he wasn't as impressive as he was last year. So I would say with Wentz and the desolate wide receiver situation in Cleveland, probably not. With Watson, I believe Watson's more of a special talent. Like, I'm pure when Corey talks pound for pound. I think Watson's more talented than Wentz, and it's not saying Wentz is not talented. I believe that Watson is the kind of guy that can elevate his teammates around him. You know, look what he's done for Will Fuller. So I would say with Watson, there would be a shot to be at least respectable. I think Wentz would struggle.
It's interesting. I feel like you believe, I won't put words in your mouth, but it does sound like you've come off Wentz a little bit over the last couple of days. We've talked a bunch about Carson Wentz. You said he's not nearly as impressive as last year, I thought you said.
Wentz wasn't impressive.
You said the weapons have gotten better, so you said that, you know, because the weapons have gotten better, he's looked better, but he's not doing as much as he did last year.
I don't understand what you're saying. What do you mean he's not doing as much as he did last year? Last year he wasn't as good as he was this year.
I agree.
Because he didn't have the weaponry around him.
But you think it's just the weaponry around him? You don't think it's
I think
better?
But that's part of it, too. It's the evolution and the weaponry.
Right,
can't evolve if you don't have the weaponry.
Right.
If it's a specific type of quarterback, it's not a criticism on him whatsoever. He threw the ball over 600 times last year and still didn't put up great numbers or, you know, boosted them to what they are now.
Yep.
You know, look what he has around him. Carson Wentz is a preseason sleeper just because of that, and he's still like a top 6-7 fantasy quarterback to me the rest of the way.
Top 5 quarterback for me the rest of the way. I know we disagree on this. We talked about it yesterday.
It's splitting hairs.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and when we do, we're going to talk about some of the other headlines from yesterday around the NFL. Next on the Roto Experts.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Popular pickup of waiver wires, I thought, this week. D.D. Westbrook. Over the last couple of weeks, people are getting excited about D.D. Westbrook from the Jaguars, who team came out yesterday and said, yeah, he'll have a role in our top three. Can you explain this excitement to me, Corey? Like, I get he had a really nice preseason. I do. But he's a third wide receiver on a team that doesn't want to throw.
People getting cute. That's all it is. People getting cute, trying to hit the home run, find the next big thing. And you're right. He's the third wide receiver on the team that does not throw the football. I really have no interest. Maybe moving forward, the offense changes next year, something like that. I'm not saying something against the kid's talent. I'm just saying, what are you planning on getting? You're just going out there and you dropping on D.D. Westbrook. What do you plan on getting from D.D. Westbrook for the rest of the way as the wide receiver 3 with the Jacksonville Jaguars offense? The same Jacksonville Jaguars who have attempted to throw the football the 31st in NFL in passing attempts.
That's all fair.
Why are you going? You're going for the third wide receiver on the team that throws the ball less than everybody in the NFL except on another team.
That's all fair, but I think this is kind of a Curtis Samuel type of situation where you know, this is a guy that they drafted, and you know they want to roll for. He had a very impressive preseason. Was really good in college football. I think like he was like the leading catcher in the nation or something like that last year. So I think what they're going to progressively do here with him is, you know, Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee have really not threatened defenses. And to Corey's point, that's why they are 31st. So they need to put a jolt in the passing game. They just can't rely on Leonard Fournette. And, you know,
but
this,
that's
this
been
guy,
working for them,
this,
Scott.
This guy has, you just, how has it been working?
The first place.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they want to, this is the team that has a design on playoffs, so they want to establish more offensive balance is what I'm saying. You don't want to have just be a running team. And if this kid can help give a jolt a little bit to the passing game, they want to do it. Those guys, especially Allen Hurns, I believe are incumbents ahead of him. And, you know, take a flyer because this kid could break out.
It's much more.
You won't have to spend money to get him either.
It's other wide receivers I would rather target over D.D. Westbrook. I want to go to a situation where
Russell
somebody.
Shepard?
Yeah, Russell Shepard. For one.
I don't know about you with the Russell Shepard thing. You know why?
Because I saw a weekly ranking to last night. Russell Shepard, and this is a reputable place that does rankings. Like they were up there in the accuracy challenge and all of that.
It's Jake Shealy.
Russell Westbrook was wide receiver 34 for this week.
Russell Westbrook?
I mean, I'm sorry.
Wait, he's playing two sports now?
Russell Shepard was wide receiver 34.
So let me ask you a question then. So why in the GST did you place the highest bid for Curtis Samuel and leave Russell Shepard on the waiver wire where you could have got him for a dollar?
I did that because I have Russell Shepard. I was looking for Russell Shepard on other teams. I wanted to have me one piece of Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, but you could have Russell Shepard too. If you're going to pick one of the two, why not go with the guy that you're backing?
You could have got him for a dollar and saved money.
I'm not asking about your other leagues. I'm talking about the GST.
I got him in four other places, and on the GST league, I have a partner.
And he didn't want Russell Shepard.
I'm not going to say that. I'm saying the GST.
That's what you're inferring, though.
That's not what I'm inferring. I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. No, but Corey, it's like you're not answering the question.
But you don't understand the conversation that me and my partner had. We had the Russell Shepard, Curtis Samuel conversation. I told him I was paying up for Russell Shepard in four or five other leagues. He was saying I like Curtis Samuel. I said, you know what? I don't have no problem having to share two of Curtis Samuel also.
Okay. Good enough.
There you go.
The fact that I even answered your question should be good enough, Scott.
Yeah, because, you know, you would have probably been laying in urgent care if you didn't.
So that's kind of the story on D.D. Westbrook. I mentioned Corey Davis a couple of moments ago. I want to talk about the Titans here in general as well. So Corey Davis is returning. Delanie Walker, there's definitely still some question if he will. Delanie Walker is day-to-day, and he seems to be a legitimate question mark for Sunday, Scotty. Did you pick up Juju Smith anywhere? Not Juju Smith. Jonnu Smith anywhere?
I think I didn't because I don't need him, but I'm not telling anybody not to.
Okay.
Because, you know, tight ends very, very desolate out there. You got guys that are already falling off, like Ed Dixon has fell off. Martellus Bennett has been terrible. People aggressively bidding on Burton Davis, so why not take the shot? You know, you may be desperate for a tight end this week. You know, if your tight end's on a bye, you lost somebody due to an injury, why not take the shot?
Yeah, you know, I get it. If you have Delanie Walker, you pick up Jonnu Smith, and no matter what, you're gonna have this starter on Sunday. I think that's good enough for me. So that's the only way I'm picking him up here this week. Yesterday in practice, you had Mike Wallace return to practice. So, yay!
Yo, you know that thing on Bleacher Report, the Heights? Oh, no. It's like a NFL, like a animated NFL series. They had Joe Flacco in the quarterback cafeteria.
Yeah.
And they was like, you know, he ordered food. He was like, can I get it with elite sauce? You feel what I'm saying? And they was like, okay, you can put it on here. And then as he was going through the cafeteria, it was Alex Smith and Jacoby Brissett sitting down. And he was like, come sit over here with us, the game managers. He said, let's talk about six-yard checkdowns. And he was like, no, I want to go sit over there in the elite club. You know what I'm saying? And they was like, you don't belong there.
They should have told Alex Smith to get up from the table, though.
Yeah, I can't do it with the game managing Joe Flacco. I can't. Six yards a pop.
That was very funny. Joe Flacco, by the way, it looks like he's going to be clear of this concussion. He's already practicing in full with Baltimore, which is a good thing. So Joe Flacco.
Is he washed up now?
Seems that way. Man, is the team that's washed up or he's washed up?
Like, the whole situation is washed up.
I agree.
Maybe so. Maybe that's
what it
is.
I agree. There's zero excitement about Baltimore.
No, it's nothing.
Even
you know
when
what
they
saying?
Win, it's
like, ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end of the season, they'll figure out a way to be 8-8. You 100%. Know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What are they
Because the defense has come to play here and there, and running backs are decent, you know.
I don't know about that.
But Collins is, you can't say he's not decent, but, and then they're going to get Woodhead back, too, so.
Having difficulty setting my lineups this week.
You know, speaking of Woodhead and CJ Procise and guys like that, you know, I wasn't even talking about it yesterday. When you look at, you know, the college injury history of Kenyon Drake, you know, which is very, very littered with it. It's like, I started wondering yesterday, it sounds exactly like, or similar to, CJ Procise, speed, playmaker, can't stay healthy. It's like, you know, I look at our GST waiver run, did somebody just bid over $400 on CJ Procise?
I would hope not.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's legitimate to bounce around, you know?
Well, I mean, listen, Procise hasn't been able to stay healthy in the NFL. Like, Kenyon Drake deserve a shot to see if he can do
right.
it. There's plenty of guys that are littered with injuries in college that, you know what, for whatever reason, they can stay healthy in the NFL. We have that. What are you doing?
I was reading something.
We haven't been able to see that with Kenyon Drake because he hasn't gotten a shot yet. He gets his shot here, potentially this weekend. And Corey, you were saying in your waiver run, you got Kenyon Drake.
I got Kenyon Drake in a lot of places, and I didn't have to pay as much as I thought I would. I kind of got him. I even got him places where I got him for less than 100. So far, like I said, I'm just, you know, obviously I wasn't up at 3 o'clock this morning going through this, but you know, the three leagues I've looked at already, all under $100 for Kenyon Drake.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is obviously 1,000 cap is what.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for GST, went over 400.
I haven't looked at the GST yet.
I think so.
Yeah, it's us.
Oh, the BFFs got them?
BFFs.
Y'all paid a big price. I wonder what the running-up bid was.
Yeah, whatever.
You don't even care. You don't want to know.
No wonder you were talking hopeful on him.
I'm going to check the run-up
BFFs bid. Messed up last week. We would have won, but we were stupid. I can't tell you. I don't want to. We said it on the show what we did. I don't want to go over it again.
Yeah, don't repeat it.
I'm not going to. All right. So, DeMarco Murray finishing off the Titans. He looks good to go this weekend, so that's good. We'll get DeMarco Murray, who's been battling these injuries, Scotty. Hopefully this bye week helped him get healthy.
Yeah, practicing in full right out of the gate. I think that's kind of a hopeful report there. Had the shoulder and the hamstring. But look, we were saying all along, maybe this guy just needs a week off, and the bye week was it. Because obviously, you know, and I'm no Dr. A here, but
who we'll talk to today, by the way.
Who we'll talk to today, of course. But, you know, obviously he's, you know, he was good. He was healthy enough where they deemed him good enough to play, but he didn't have the classic DeMarco Murray juke and explosion. It's like, if you can make a trade for DeMarco Murray before Sunday, I might do it.
So I've never seen someone quicker on DeMarco Murray than Scott going back and forth there.
Well, like, it was health related.
I understand that. So now 1 week and we're just like, all right.
I think if DeMarco Murray is healthy,
yep,
he plays behind a great offensive line.
Sure.
I want him, but he wasn't healthy.
But look how close Dallas got to bringing him back.
But it looks like, I mean, Derrick Henry's not going anywhere.
What's that?
Derrick Henry's not going anywhere.
But Derrick Henry's not a factor if DeMarco Murray's there.
He is a factor, for
sure.
He has
a change of pace back. It's DeMarco Murray's backfield because he's not even 100%, and, you know, they're still starting him and giving him a lot of work.
Yes, yes, no doubt about it. But they're also still giving Derrick Henry a lot of work, too. It's not like he's
not really. It's more the change of pace work.
How many?
He had one game, maybe, I think, where he was a significant factor.
Well, listen, in the last two games, so that game is a significant factor you're talking about. It was 2 games ago, right, against the Colts. 19 carries for 131 yards in the touchdown. It was a monster game for him. A week later,
didn't Murray come out of that game? I could be wrong on that.
He didn't come out. I think Derrick Henry just dominated the carries that game because he was banged up, DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
A week later, Derrick Henry had 13 carries for 13 yards. I mean, it's a very bad line, don't get me wrong. Yeah. 13 carries for 13 yards. It was awful. DeMarco Murray, and that was in overtime against Cleveland, that game went. In that one, DeMarco Murray had 18 carries. 13 carries compared to 18 is not a change of pace back. I mean, that's really splitting it.
Yeah, but that's when DeMarco Murray was not healthy.
I just don't think it goes.
I think there's DeMarco Murray's backfield and he becomes more of what we saw. Like, you know, there was six carries 1 week and six in another, even though he hasn't been healthy at all. DeMarco Murray's a lead back. I'm not saying, you know, Derrick Henry NFL-wise is completely irrelevant, but I want DeMarco Murray if he's healthy because I feel like he can make the most of every touch.
What are you willing to give up for DeMarco Murray? You're saying you want him, you want to go out and trade for him before Sunday. What do you want to give up for
him? We can talk about
him
when he comes back.
We'll do just that. This is the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
That he wants DeMarco Murray and would love to trade for him before this Sunday. Scott, I'm a DeMarco Murray owner in a league that you are in.
You don't have to. Let's do it.
But I don't need him, though.
Oh,
I have Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt, though.
He wouldn't pull the trigger after he talk all that trash.
Yeah, but once again, Corey's lacking context, which is not surprising. I have Kareem Hunt and Todd Gurley, so...
You can start three running backs.
True, but you know it's like I'm not going to give up one of my big other pieces to get a third RB1.
Why?
Then I'll weaken another position.
But you're getting DeMarco Murray, a guy that you want.
And who are you going to ask me for? It's like I don't know, Jarvis Landry, Jimmy Graham. I don't want to pull them out of my lineup. I don't want to weaken another starting spot to have a luxury at the flex.
But I don't really care where my points come from my lineup. If you like DeMarco Murray more than you like Jarvis Landry, you should do that.
This is first season playing. Don't know.
Right. And you know what? In my debut season, I beat you, and I have a better record than you and more points than you.
Your debut game.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So my debut is whipping your butt.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Go win the whole thing.
You don't have to win take a lot of experience to beat Corey Parson.
Go win the whole thing, and then come holler at me.
I will holler at you.
Win the whole thing,
I will
and
holler
come
at
holler
you.
At me.
With all my other trophies.
You didn't answer the question.
I did.
Did you?
I said I'm not interested in DeMarco Murray in our league.
I asked you Jarvis Landry or DeMarco Murray, and you're waiting.
I think it's very close for me. I really, really like Jarvis Landry going forward because he's scoring touchdowns. I don't have a need for DeMarco Murray in our league, so I'm probably going to pass. It's not something when you throw it out to me, I'm saying I'm not going to consider, but I'm going to pass on it. I don't see a need for it right now. My other leagues, where I do have needs at running backs, I will go after them.
Okay, so you said you want...
Unless I make you an offer, which you're not going to take. You know, I mean, you're not going to take Paul Richardson for DeMarco Murray, so... You know, I'm not trading Antonio Brown. I'm not trading Jarvis Landry. So I'm not trading Jimmy Graham.
I disagree with that statement Scott just made just now.
Paul Richards?
Yeah.
I would not take Paul Richards or DeMarco Murray.
That's what I said.
I disagree with that.
I have him. I'm not going to do that.
I know. I feel what you're saying. But this time of year, if you need... I think you got to take the names out the trades.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? You got to build your team around what you need. You know what I'm saying? And if you need Paul Richardson and you don't need DeMarco Murray, make the trade.
Here's the thing, though. Your team is, what, 2-6 as well? So you need to win now as well? I mean, if you want Paul Richardson and another player, like, I'll give you Paul Richardson and Joe Mixon for DeMarco Murray and probably a flyer. If you wanted to do that, I'd do that.
But why would I do that?
Because, you know, if you
want... No, hold on. Like, I'm not giving...
Like I said originally, you probably wouldn't do the offers that I threw out there.
Correct. But you originally, you said you want DeMarco Murray. You would try...
Not in a vacuum.
Your quote was, I would try to trade for DeMarco Murray before
the
Sunday.
In a lot of safe situations, I would. Not everything's absolute.
Yes, of course. So tell me
in this particular situation, I'm not willing to give up my starting quarterback, which is Dak Prescott.
So it sounds like you want somebody off for DeMarco Murray.
What's that?
Tell me what you would give up for DeMarco Murray.
Paul Richardson, Nelson Aguilar.
No one's doing that.
But we're talking, I'm saying in other leagues where I have a need, I might go after him.
So tell me who. That was the question we went to break. In another league, forget us, forget that I have DeMarco Murray, and we're in the same league. In a different league where maybe you're interested in DeMarco Murray, it makes more sense for you. Who are you going to
I would trade players? I would trade Dez Bryant for DeMarco Murray.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. You would trade Dez for DeMarco Murray. So
it's I think it's fair.
Okay.
I think both players have not performed to expectations, and both have upside going forward, so I think it's a fair deal.
Okay, so yeah, you trade Dez for DeMarco Murray.
Yes.
So how is it fair at all that someone would offer Paul Richardson for DeMarco Murray?
Huh?
He's going to offer Dez in another league. I'm going to take Paul Richardson?
It depends on inside the 12-team league, which teams fit and have proper trade chemistry.